Imagine what would happen to you if you were entrusted with the Son of God in your hands, and then you lose him. That's really daunting. I mean, it's like, where did the Son of God go? And then one day, 2 days, and I think we hear this message and we don't really think about it, but think of the anxiety when you lose a son or a daughter, you would be freaking out. And so on the third day, right, they finally found Jesus. And today I want to talk to you about what you can do to be a holy family. The readings today all point to what all these people did in order to become holy in God's sight. In the first reading from the book of Samuel, there's this character, her name is Hannah. And if you haven't read the Bible in a while, I suggest that you go back and read the whole story. This lady, Hannah, she couldn't bear a child. And for the ancient Jew, for a woman, first, to not be able to bear a child, that was looked down upon. And she would always go back to the temple. And in fact, prior to this reading, Eli, the prophet, would go in there and would see Hannah. And at one point even told her, "Lady, are you drunk? Like, don't be here. What are you doing?" He obviously wasn't very pastoral. But Hannah answered and said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying to God so I can bear a child." So she would always be in the temple. And so this is the reading that we hear today. Finally, God grants her prayers, and she bears a son, and they call him Samuel. But notice what they do. Hannah and Elkanah, right, go to the temple and making, if you will, a pilgrimage to offer Samuel back to God. A lot of times we don't realize when we get things, when we have people, our tendency is to hold on to them. But usually by doing that, we actually limit ourselves. Our faith always grows in the measure that we always give it away. And so that's what Hannah did. And in the same way, the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary, they take their son Jesus to the temple to make a pilgrimage to give honor to God. And it should be the same for all of you. Family should always be protected, especially nowadays, right? There's always, the family is always under attack. And it always makes me sad when parents tell me, my son or my daughter, they don't go to church, especially when they're under 18, because they don't want to. I always tell parents, children should not be given, if you tell children if you want to go or not, it's up to you. Children will always say, "No, I don't want to go." I know until they're 18, imagine if your child decided, "I don't want to eat anymore." You can't say, "You know, it's okay." I'm sure every parent in their right mind will say, "Honey, I know you don't want to eat, but it's good for you. You really have to eat." "Well, I gave it up, you know. Sorry, Mom. You just got to live with it." You know what I'm saying? No. You're going to say, "No, you're going to die." But it's the same way. We need spiritual nourishment. I know when I was growing up, I always wonder about, people always ask me, I come from a family of 8. Why do all your siblings go to church? And why, when my friends meet my family, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And yet at the same time, my siblings are so active in church. And when I was growing up, I remember it was a non-negotiable in the Aguilar household to miss Holy Days of Obligation and Sunday Mass. And I think if I were to examine what happened to us, it's because my late father and my mother, their faith was something organic. What that means was this: it wasn't something external that we had to do. We saw, and I saw on a firsthand basis, how Jesus transformed my parents' lives. They were more patient. They were more kind. I saw forgiveness when they had fights. And deep within my subconscious mind, as well as my siblings, we understood that this is what we do in order to protect the family. When I was a little boy, my dad was the first one that taught me. I was about 3. To say my prayers. He taught me the prayers in Latin and in English. And every night when we would go to sleep, my father would trace the sign of the cross on our foreheads. He also taught us how to pray before meals, not just some random prayer, but for us to really reflect on, why are you thankful for what you have? By doing that, it allowed us to really understand our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Even when some of the Jehovah's Witnesses came to our place, my dad would evangelize and would quote Matthew 16:18, "You are rock, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and nothing will prevail against it." But the point is this: my father and my mom would always take us, and it would be a happy thing. And when we went home for breakfast, we would always look forward to the time spent together as a family, and we would have eggs and bacon. Back then we ate a lot of it. You can still have some every once in a while, just not every Sunday. But it was a ritual, if you will. And today a few days ago when I went home for Christmas, it was the same thing. My father isn't there anymore, but I noticed that with my siblings and my nephews and nieces, God is always at the center of our lives. And even before we say a meal, I don't always say the prayer. They don't always say, "Oh, Father Francis will do it." My brothers, because they have made sure that Jesus plays an active role in their lives, then they would lead the prayer as well. Pope Francis started with this year, with a Jubilee year of mercy, asking and invoking every faithful Catholic to make a pilgrimage to the cathedrals and to churches. I encourage all of you families that are here to always make sure that you see the beauty and the value of making God as part of your everyday life. First is the Sunday Mass, where you come here, and you guys are already here. But for those of you that know siblings or nephews or grandchildren, you ought to tell them the beauty and the value of having God at the center of their lives. And really, the Holy Family is not just Jesus and Mary and Joseph, is really people that we have seen in our own lives. People always ask me, what does it really mean to be holy? If I were to give it to you in one sentence, being holy means being radically obedient to God's will. And that's the most difficult thing. Notice in the gospel reading, here's Jesus. He's only 12 years old. And as I said when I started the homily, naturally, Mary and Joseph were anxious. They haven't found him. And when they saw him, they said, "We've been looking for you everywhere. We were anxious." Look at Jesus' response. It's almost kind of like indifferent. "Why were you looking for me everywhere?" It's like, really? Right? You would think, what's wrong with Jesus? Shouldn't he have said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to"? But he, without any reservation, said, "Why were you looking for me everywhere? Did you not know I would be in my Father's business?" Once again, it reminds us that holiness always comes from doing God's will. And for Jesus, even at that age of 12, he was very aware that God's will supersedes anything else, right? When they went home, I imagine, this is a speculation on my part, that Mary said they didn't understand what this boy said, but they pondered it in their hearts. But then Jesus, it said, was obedient to Mary and Joseph. Look, there are many attacks on families, and I always tell people, what you feed is what's going to grow. A lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of young people are left to themselves, whether it's internet, video, TV, internet, and so forth. And as long as it's a wholesome game, there's nothing wrong with it. But if that's all they do, then that's not going to nourish them spiritually. It's up to you parents and grandparents to show them the beauty and the value of what it means to put Jesus at the center of their lives. And I think if you were to ask me why, I always speak in probabilities, why some families fail in this area. When kids are asked to do things that their parents or grandparents don't do, it's a noise factor for them. When they're told, "You should go to church, how come you don't go? Just listen to me, I'm your dad." That is not a good holy family. See, when it's something organic, children will see, if my dad is changing for the better, if my mom is more loving, if my parents are more forgiving, there must be something about this thing called church. There must be something this thing called the liturgy. And that's what I saw growing up. When you find a place in your heart when it's a Sunday and it's a football season, and then you're torn between watching your favorite game and Sunday Mass, and you're having to make a decision, In your heart, you want to stay home and say, you know what? It's not a big deal. But then deep within your soul, you're like, but God's will is for me to go to Sunday Mass. When you choose to go to Sunday Mass, that means you're making a holy choice. When somebody upsets you in your family, at work, and you're angry because they talk behind your back or they put you down and you're filled with anger, and then you encounter them, you don't want to say hi to them, but deep within your soul you're saying, but God's will is for me to be loving and to smile at them. When you choose to be loving, that means you're becoming a holy person. When you're in a situation, and you could read between the lines, when you're really attracted to do something with someone, but you know it's not the right thing to do, and you ignore how you feel, and you say, but this is not God's will. I want to do God's will. And you choose that, that's what it means to be holy. Being holy, in the end, is always doing the best that we can to put prayer, to put God as part of our everyday lives, or to be obedient to God's will. And I'll end by saying this. People always ask me, how do you make God as part of your everyday life? Like, where can you find God in sports? Or where can you find God in the workplace or in the supermarket? This is what I do. When I go to the supermarket, I always pray, God, help me find the things that I need to find as soon as I can so that my trip is expedient. Before I start any meetings with anyone, even when I go out with friends, I always pray, God, don't let me say things that will not be good. Or if I'm going into a meeting, open up the hearts of the people and give me the wisdom so that through me, your word will be spoken. You can speak these words of blessings to your children and grandchildren as well. And I invite all of you, especially as we celebrate Holy Family, spend time on a regular basis to pray with them, read the Bible with them, pray the rosary with them, but make it something organic. Because when you do, trust me, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, and again, I'm talking probability, the probability is higher that your children and grandchildren will flourish more spiritually. The probability is higher that they will see the value and the benefit of being a holy person. Because after all, that's what we were placed on earth to be. Our goal is to establish an eternal relationship with God. And our job is to help others go closer to God. My question to all of you is, how are you responding to that call to holiness? And what are you doing in your part so that not only yourself, but others that God has placed in your life will also go to heaven?